early morning fog I see, visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld from me, I realize and I can see.
Legendary Studios. Secrets and stories of our own French Abbey Roads. Story 2. Neil Drinkwater. You're a pianist and keyboard player who works with artists like Chris Rea and Van Morrison. How did your career in music start?
My father was a pianist, accordionist in the dance band era, and he sent me and my sister for classical piano lessons when we were quite young. I grew up interested in both classical and popular music, and I started to get a few gigs playing popular music in pubs and bars while I was still a teenager. I was learning on the job, and sometimes I took on work I wasn't quite ready for, but it was all invaluable experience. I got better, and the work got better. I qualified as a classical piano teacher, LRAM 1981. But I've never taught or even been asked to show any qualifications in the music business.
Can you tell us some of your best memories? Who were some of your favorite artists to work with?
I've been lucky in my career. Most artists I've worked with have been respectful and appreciative, and also good fun to hang out with. Too many to mention, but Chris Rea, Mary Black, Ronnie Spector, Clanad, even Van Morrison, who has a somewhat undeserved reputation of being grumpy, is great fun, if the wind is blowing in the right direction. I met my wife, singer June Boyce, in the first Van Morrison band I was in, so I better put that down as a best memory.
What did you learn from all the artists you worked with?
Not to imitate others. The great artists I've worked with all have their own individual, instantly recognizable voice. I tried to develop my own voice as a pianist. I didn't want to sound like anyone else. Sometimes I was asked, "Can you do this like Floyd Kramer, or Richard Tee, or someone else?" I would always reply, "No. I can do Neil Drinkwater doing an impression of them, but it won't sound the same."
What do you think of the evolution of recording bands or session musicians now compared to when you started? For example, you can now complete piano pieces online without ever meeting the people you work with or going to their studio.
Advances in digital technology have killed the recording industry. Big studios are closing everywhere because people can do a lot, if not all, of the recording on their home computers. When I started, there would be a band playing live in the studio, bouncing ideas off each other, each take a unique performance. Now, if I get a session, I'm often the only musician there. They don't want a part from me. They want 6 or 7 complete passes that they can take away and cut and paste into a finished part. The finished part is still me, but not in any order I would ever have played it. Same with internet sessions. Nothing to bounce off of, and everyone thinks they can improve what you played with their own editing.
So today, do you think there is still as much importance put on creativity and ideas, or is music more technology-based?
It doesn't matter if the music is technology-based or not. The only judgment is whether it's good or not. There's a lot of poor technology-based music out there, but only because it's cheap to produce and you don't need to be a trained musician to make it.
What are the best studios you have worked in? What makes them so good?
I think the studios are just buildings. It's the musicians and engineers in them that matter. I've worked on the same album in different studios. You can't tell the difference, as long as the personnel is the same. Having said that, the Odd One has a nice piano. Metropolis in London has a Fazioli Grand to die for.
Can you name some artists, engineers, producers, creatives who you'd like to work with?
I hesitate to say which artists I'd like to work with, It might sound like a job application, and then if I don't get a call, I'll go into a depression. I like to work with the engineer-producer Mick Glossop again sometime. He always made me sound better than I am. You are still working in music, but in what capacity now? After about 10 years in the theater band at We Will Rock You London, which closed in 2014, I'm working freelance again. I'm still playing in Chris Rea's band, which is great fun, and hopefully he'll do a big tour again soon. You never know when the phone will ring and you'll be off somewhere, which has always been both exciting and a source of financial anxiety to me. How do you calculate how much you charge for working on an album or new music? Has this changed radically over time? The internet is handy. You can research the profile of the artist and look at the size of the venues if it's a tour, then have a think about how much you'd be happy to do it for. I have sliding scales, as do most musicians. If I like the music and the people and they don't have the budget, I'll go easy on them. As for session fees, I haven't put up my daily rate much since the 1990s. I would if I thought I could get it, but we live in different times. How did you get working with Van Morrison? I was working for my friend arranger Dave Gold, who had a connection with Van. Dave booked me for a tape swap for a TV show. A tape swap was a fake session where all the musicians get paid for re-recording a track, and then the artist mimes to the original recording. The track was Ivory Tower. Van came along to the session and thought he might do it live on TV, so we rehearsed it and recorded it. Van liked it and booked me and drummer Roy Jones to do his next tour. So, what did you learn from Van Morrison? I was quite young when I did the first tour, 27, and working for him was a level up from the sort of work I had been doing. So it was a learning curve for me in lots of ways. Musically, I had to rethink my approach to improvising. I had been trying to play jazz, and all my ideas were centered around negotiating complex harmonic progressions. Van's music is very simple, diatonic, pentatonic, etc. I had to learn how to play something interesting using just the basic scales, which is actually very rewarding. In the studio, Van also taught me not to lose a track with real feeling, searching for perfection. We might do 2, 3, 4 takes, and he would listen back and decide to go with the least perfect take, if he thought that one had the juice. Would you change anything from your career if you could? I would sing. I did my first paid gig as a boy soprano when I was 12, but I was too shy to sing in public after my voice broke. Thing is, with singing, like everything else in music, the more you do it, the better you get. I would love to be able to go out and do a gig singing and accompany myself on the piano. I'd have gotten more work, too. I'm afraid I've left it too late.
You can find the complete tale in the book Legendary Studios, Secrets and Stories of Our Own French Abbey Road, published by Malpasso, a French company.
Suicide is painless. It brings